Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
Welcome back to the Gospel Rain Podcast. This is Matt, and we're going to get into, Micah, a discussion that can be, probably, and will be, we'll just go ahead and say from the outset, this topic will be deeper than we are.
Yeah.
Something that we're gonna handle the best that we can biblically, but I believe it's a question or an issue that our church members are asking, that the common person out there is needing some help with. And we want to do the best that we can in a gospel-centered type conversation to bring some light to this. It's the issue of depression. And a number of people suffer with depression. We can see this now if you just watch enough TV with commercials. You mm-hmm. can see numbers of commercials now and advertisements for medication for depression and things like that, in that, I guess, in that family of things. And so depression can be a very difficult thing for people to deal with, even Christians in the church. Michael, let's get started with a question. Some things that you and I have talked about personally already, some things that you have read about, some things that you've experienced. Let's get into this first, I guess. Here's a good question. Some people just don't deal with it at all. So let's deal with this. What is it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, just as a knee-jerk reaction, assume and equate depression with like a deep sadness. And you and I will talk about the nature and the role of sadness as it relates to depression, but it's broader than that.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised, actually, to discover in reading and thinking and asking professionals about this issue that depression is actually considered a mental illness in the range of what they would call mental illnesses. It's a mood disorder is what, you know, clinicians call it, that struggle with, or that analyze people struggling with this kind of depressive disorder, they call it. It affects everything, and it's and you'll be able to describe this a little bit more later. It overtakes everything. It overtakes how you think, how you feel, the things you do, the things you don't do, normal things that you would find yourself doing, you don't do, things you don't want to do, you do. There's a lot of things such as sleeping, eating, even, I mean, it affects everything. And it's one of the most common, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, it's one of the most common mental disorders in the U.S. Now, here's something more. Obviously, this, you know, secular health institute isn't going to make a place for the spiritual aspect of this question.
Right.
And you and I need to wrestle with that, because our purpose today is not to offer trite answers to a very complicated
sure.
issue. It is complex, and there are multiple helps and solutions and resolutions to this question. But it does include sadness, and there are other signs and symptoms. But at the base level, it comes over you in terms of a mood altering everything. That is the best way I could describe it, based on the things I've felt, based on the things that I've read and known people walk through, this kind of mood alteration.
Now, I think both of us would say we are not professionals in this area.
Right.
I am not a professional counselor, and neither are you.
Mm-hmm.
We are professional theologians, I guess, by trade and by study. And so, but the Bible does say a lot of things about depression, and we'll get into that in just a little while. So we have a grasp on certain things there, but we would say we're not professionals at the same time. But mm-hmm. you're saying depression, when it comes over you as a general mood of things, and it can affect your life. Do you mean it can affect you physically?
Mm.
In what ways? It can affect you mentally, spiritually, Name some of those specific ways that you mean when you mean that depression can affect you.
Yeah, well, I've never personally gone through a diagnosis of a professional checklist of things, but it's a common kind of realm of symptoms and signs that help us understand where we fall on this. And so absolutely there are physical presentations of someone who's struggling with depression, irritability, for example, sleeplessness or wanting to sleep all the time, weight gain, weight loss, that's unusual. There's a mental aspect of this, difficulty in concentration, flashes of anger. I think I already mentioned irritability. Some of these things are going to come up, being anxious, and anxiety plays a massive role in kind of this, what I would say, the spiritual formation of depression for a lot of Christians. Anxiety is a big part of that. Emptiness, hopelessness, there's pessimism. It just really kind of sinks you in a cloud that it's spiritual without question, but there is a mental aspect to this, and without question a physical representation of it too.
Hmm. Well, that helps. We know that there may be people listening to us on this podcast who may have experienced a number of these things, and and we want to be sensitive as pastors, because I've had conversations with people about depression before. And automatically they will say that people have come up to them and basically said, you know, look, if you're close enough to the Lord, you're not going to be depressed. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need to read your Bible more, or you need to pray more, and that'll make that go away. But I'm not dumb enough to think that people in my church, even some that I would consider, or over my 20 years of ministry, some that I would consider very in tune with the Lord, very close to the Lord, that have experienced depression.
Yeah.
And so I know that somewhere along the way, sometimes, you know, getting with the Lord and reading His Word and praying more, sure. But there are times when that depression may be more severe.
Yes.
And we just want to be aware of that. We want to be sensitive to that. And we don't want to say as pastors, you know, look, just go open your Bible and read more and you'll get over it.
Right,
you know,
right.
What we find is depression, there's more to depression than just getting over it.
Yes.
Because oftentimes depression can lead to things like suicide.
That's right.
Attempting suicide, or constant thoughts of suicide, never really following through with it, but constant thoughts of, I just want this to be over with. I just want life to end.
Yeah.
I would like to go to sleep and not wake up.
Right.
You know, and so severe, you know, depression can lead down that road. And we just have to say, as pastors, there's a sense in which that goes beyond just read a verse or two,
right?
You know, to make the devil go away.
Right.
That's deeper than that. That's more severe. And people deal with these things all the time. So let's move on into another question that I've got. You've told us some things about what depression may look like and how it can affect you, but what causes it?
Yeah, it is a complex issue. And as you mentioned, there's a spectrum of, you know, of what we're dealing with here. I mean, everybody at some point in their life is going to have the blues. Everybody's going to be upset and sad at some point for a variety of things. But not everybody's going to have like a clinical debilitating depression that's going to require medical. Some people will, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But if I could use a scripture maybe as a foil against which to answer this question, the Bible doesn't allow us, for example, to locate the cause of depression in one spot. And you can take different characters of the Bible, like David, for example. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba and held it, and the whole interaction with Nathan and all that kind of stuff, if you read the narrative carefully, man, he goes into some deep struggle with depression. In fact, he even says, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, Psalm 51.
Right.
And so he's pouring out his heart, and he's struggling with that. But that's tied to his own sin. So there's one aspect of that. You have someone like Hannah, who was barren and infertile, and everybody else having babies all around her, and she couldn't have a baby. And so she was downcast over that. And man, this is a very common theme even in our own day. People want to have kids, and how that will present itself. But I would say that that's a circumstantial issue And so many times the things in our lives that happen circumstantially can put us in a place, for example, things we can't control, like a parent passing away. Okay. Yeah. I said it was circumstantial, that can lead us into a deep sadness and depression. Right. And then maybe someone like Elijah, who, Elijah felt like a failure in ministry. You know, he wanted more from God, of God. He wanted things, and those things just weren't happening. And he was burdened. And the fact, you know, he's one of those who didn't want to live anymore. Jonah's the same way. Jonah, man, things don't go the way he thinks he do. He's all sour about it. He's sitting out on the outside of Nineveh, and he wants to die. He wants God to take his life.
Right, that's right.
Because he is so discouraged and downcast. And so Scripture is clear that we can get depressed. It's much less clear on why we get depressed. So I would say that sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's circumstantial, sometimes it's, you know, other things happen in life, including, I would say, medical. And, you know, and I read recently a book by Martin Lloyd-Jones called Spiritual Depression. And at first, I didn't like it. I didn't like the way he started the book. I didn't like how the things he was saying. I didn't like what he was. I'm just being honest. As I was reading it, I was kind of put off. But the more I began to reflect on what he was saying, there was something to that. But one point he brought out that I've given some thought to is how certain personalities are inclined to I don't know what you say, prone to sadness, if you will, or. You know, I've even said it to my own church from the pulpit multiple times. Mm. I'm a melancholic personality, and I just kind of wake up and feel like a cloud's hovering over my life.
All right.
And it's not that I'm upset or angry or whatever, or that I don't feel God around me and I don't care, but it's just I just kind of see the world through a cloudy disposition.
Right.
And, you know, if unchecked, that can go south, you know, and be debilitating. But most of the time, I just live in the awareness that, you know, it kind of feels like a little off or whatever, right. But it's not the end of the world.
Well, that's a good distinction, because, you know, there are people who do not have that particular disposition about them, never see a cloudy day. You know, they're always optimistic and never really, and they wonder when people are depressed, how they can't just get over it. You know, and then some people might say insensitive things to other people, like, you know, you just need to get over that. You just need to, you know, get happy. You just need to smile. Put a smile on your face and it'll all be okay. But, you know, for somebody who is experiencing depression, to hear things like that can sometimes even make the depression worse.
Yes, it can.
You know, there are times where people may be depressed about being depressed.
Right.
That they know that they're depressed and can't come out of it. They just don't feel like there's a way out, or there's an answer, or there's a hope. And so I would encourage those who are listening today, just be careful about issues of sensitivity. You may not be one of those persons like you described that may have a disposition. You may not be, and that's fine. That's great. And maybe you can encourage others, but be sensitive in your encouragement that there are some people who may not have the outlook or the point of view or perspective that you do, or have the ability to handle things the way that you do.
Right.
Just be sensitive the way that you talk about it.
Yeah.
You and I were talking earlier. Let me ask you to say something about this. You and I were talking earlier about a certain illustration that you read. Mm-hmm. And I want you to explain that. Something about depression, and sometimes we can know where it came from. Sometimes we don't know where it came from. Share that illustration with our listeners.
Yeah, I thought this was really insightful as I was reading. So one writer compared depression to the image of a bruise, and you know, sometimes, you know, you rack your shin, you know, on an end table, and a big bruise shows up. You know, I know exactly why I got that bruise, because I hit my leg on the table. But then other times, you look at your arm and you've got a bruise, and you're like, well, where did that come from? I don't remember hitting anything. And he would say the same thing is occurring with depression. Sometimes you can identify what's going on. Well, yeah, my dad passed away, and of course I'm going to feel this kind of, and this is probably why I'm feeling more of this. But other times, and for people who have really suffered with this issue of depression, there's not that you can't put your finger on it. You referred to, I think, one time that commercial that you saw about a medicine to help those with depression.
Right.
And that image was also really helpful. What was that?
Yeah, it was an image of, I can't remember the name of the medicine now, but I remember it was painting a picture of a monster climbing out of a hole in the ground and dragging a person in. Hmm. And that is that's a great illustration of people who suffer with depression, is that sometimes they describe it as something like that they cannot control and something that they never see coming.
Yes.
And sometimes they can't identify, they feel like it's coming, but all of a sudden here it comes out of that big dark hole, crawls this depression monster and grabs them. And then they have to wrestle with that for a period of time, and and it's very difficult to do. So, and we'd say too, this is not just with unbelievers, as we've tried to say. This is with Christians too.
That's right.
Christians That's right. face these things, and we have church members that may be facing this issue of depression.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair for us to say as Christians that you can be depressed to a point where, you know, reading a Bible verse or two is not going to help you? Is that fair to say that?
I absolutely think that's fair. You know, and why people struggle with an answer that's like, yeah, I think that, is because we understand that there's hope in the gospel. We understand that there's joy in the Spirit. We understand all of these things are true in our relationship with God, but the experience of those things, you know, it's for people who don't struggle with depression, they would say, well, how come you just not feel with hope and joy? Is there sin in your life? It's always a sinful spiritual thing, but that monster coming out of a hole, you didn't cause that and you didn't sin anything.
Right.
It just kind of overtaken you. And I would say Christians often get depressed too. And some of our greatest heroes in the faith have walked through depression, like Charles Spurgeon and so many others. But here's where I think it is. I think we need to understand that Christians who are depressed and get depressed are not depressed because they're bad Christians.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's rather because we're broken human beings and we live in a broken world. And
I like that.
We chase after broken solutions. Yeah. You know, theologically, we understand that the fall into sin affected more than just our souls, our bodies.
That's good.
You know, and our minds and our hearts and everything. So, you know, I think that's important. So we can't give a simplistic answer to a complex issue, and just to say that Christians are immune to this is to ignore the truth. And, you know, I wonder if we could spend a little bit of time maybe toward the tail end of our discussion on depression. And, you know, with permission that you've received from Nikki, your wife, you've had a chance to observe and to walk alongside someone who has really faced this monster crawling out of that hole. And I wonder if you just share a little bit about that. Some things you told me prior to the podcast were just phenomenal. And we'll go back and forth on a few things. But with Nikki's permission, would you share a little bit about what you told me?
Yeah. Several years ago, a number of years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago now, Nikki and I were dealing with some things that we could not identify. She could not identify in herself. I couldn't identify, but it was manifesting itself in certain ways, some of the same ways that you talked about earlier. You mentioned a number of things like irritability, an extreme amount of being wanting to sleep or wanting to go to sleep and just stay asleep, and a number of other things. And so Nick and I were dealing with some things that we couldn't put our finger on. And I knew that she was dealing with some things emotionally. It was manifesting itself emotionally, spiritually, mentally, in ways that I couldn't identify. And so through certain circumstances, Nikki and I decided that we would get some help. Mm-hmm. We just knew that it was time that we get help with some things that we couldn't put our finger on. Mm-hmm. And so we flew to Dallas, Texas, and had a visit with some people there that we thought could help us. And one of the hardest things to do in our life is that when we flew out there and had a visit and interviewed with doctors, they came out and they talked with us a little bit more, and they suggested that Nikki stay there at the hospital.
Wow.
And that I go home. And so we did that. That was a hard thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I left, flew back home to take care of my kids. Mm-hmm. And we were assuming it would be 7-8 days. It ended up being 11 days that she was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I flew back to Texas and picked her up. One of the things that came from that, I won't go into all the detail, but one of the things that came from that was the simple identification of what she was dealing with was depression. Mm-hmm. Okay. We had never known that that's what we were going to call that, or that's what getting angry, or as she described it all the time, was being overwhelmed with things, numbers
helpful.
Of things. Yeah. And it could be small things, it could be big things, but there would come points where she would just all of a sudden get overwhelmed to the point of it had broken her. Mm-hmm. And then that led to the other symptoms of maybe, of you know, breaking out in anger or just wanting to go to bed and maybe a log over, be over with when I wake up, you know, in a day or so. And so we at least identified that as depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so now over the last number of years, we've been able to identify that a little bit easier now that we know what we're talking about. So we're able to handle that a little bit better.
So you're going to tell a little bit more of that story in just a minute, but I'm making a connection based on how you just described that with kind of the knee-jerk Christian reaction to that would be, well, if this overwhelming, anxious, you know, kind of persistent thing is happening, well, isn't the scripture, you know, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, present all this to God. Do you think that's why, you know, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares, some translations say anxieties upon him because he cares for you. That for people who don't walk through exactly what you're describing, it's easy to throw those kinds of answers from the Bible toward that. It's not like you don't believe that.
Right. Those things are not out of place.
Yeah.
But certainly. We read mm-hmm. those passages of Scripture when we were able to sort of identify what was going on. We read those kind of passages. We still do. I mean, mm-hmm. you still mm-hmm. find hope there, and God ministers through the... So those are not out of place. But we determined with our situation, with Nikki's situation, that it was just beyond what we can handle on our own. Mm-hmm. We just needed some help. We needed somebody else to walk us through that particular time in her life. And it's something that Nikki still deals with. Mm-hmm. But we're better at identifying what's going on, what that is, and you know, how to address certain things, which is much better.
So this 11 days, you learned a lot. And was there a medical explanation or a medical basis that, you know, once that was addressed, you felt like you got some help maybe that moves beyond just sitting in a counselor's chair or talking to your pastor or got your Bible open praying?
Yeah, one of the things that we found out is that a number of conversations about depression automatically go to medication. You just need to take some medicine and get over it. Uh-huh. But we found out that may be an extreme, and some we realize too. Some maybe doctors or counselors may not really want to listen to you if they hear depression, hear the word. they just want to get you on some medication and you'll get over it. Mm-hmm. But we found out too that that's not always the case. And with Nikki, what we found out is that medically speaking, that there sometimes are chemicals that are imbalanced in the brain, mm-hmm. and that your body is not producing enough of something, which can then trigger the becoming overwhelmed and not being able to cope with certain things. And so those things mentally, and what Nikki and I have often talked about is a number of things that would overwhelm her under normal circumstances would never overwhelm her.
Right.
But with chemicals out of balance that may not be able, she may not be able to cope with those little things or big things that were overwhelming her. And mm-hmm. so all of a sudden it just felt like the world would just crash and break. Mm-hmm. And so with Nikki, there was a little bit of help given just to be able to balance some chemicals a little bit. And we found out very quickly there was a big adjustment there. They met a big need for Nikki. So and to be able to handle some things, to be able to cope some things a little bit better. So which made things tremendous for her. And it was a learning time for us. It was a hard time for us, me being separated from her for 11 days. And, man, it was hard. It was so hard to do. But it was a time that was worth us going through, if for nothing else, now that we talk about, to be able to help some others that are dealing with it too. So
without question,
we're no experts even now, and we still are learning. Mm-hmm. It's a learning process.
But you guys are able to you're able to wrestle with, you know, the spiritual, the chemical, you know, circumstantial kind of thing. You know, there's a movement, you know, of biblical counseling called nouthetic counseling that, you know, is largely against the use of medicine,
right,
for a lot of things. But could you talk to for folks that, you know, what's the role of medicine, and how do we, you know, is this a blessing from God, or is this a lack of faith, or are we too dependent upon things? And I think we've got a lot of questions around, you know, the role of medicine. You and I believe it's helpful.
Right.
You and I believe there's a role and a place for it, obviously. But and maybe you've received some other counsel that has helped you on that.
Yeah, there's extremes. There are some who say, you know, if you're a Christian, medicine is just not the way to go. You need to trust the Lord. There are other extremes that, you know, we live in a very medicated society. We're
right.
throwing medicine at everything.
Right.
And I think, you know, the responsible Christian counselors and authors that I've read before have said even recently that numbers of people on medication for so many things has skyrocketed over the last number of years, and where a lot of that may not even be necessary, where what could have helped a child now that's been on medication for the last 5 years could have been good discipline and could have handled some things. That's not always the case, but responsible Christian counselors would say that today, that we're so medicated. So I don't want to go to either extreme.
Right.
I don't want to go to either.
Right.
But I would say we've found out, and I've talked to enough people responsibly enough to know that sometimes medicine is helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always the answer. And we found out even with a little bit of Medicaid, that's still not easy. You still have to learn what you're dealing with, be able to identify it, and be willing to work through it. And it's not an easy thing to do. But so I would caution those who listen, don't fall on either extreme either.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just look at people who may be sad or depressed a lot and may have a problem and just say, you just need to be happy and get over to read the Bible. And on the other hand, don't be so quick to throw medicine at problems, because I think sometimes we can short circuit what the Lord is really trying to do in us through our pain and through the process of being downcast and being sad. Those may be times where the Lord is drawing us into Him, and if we just quickly medicate things, we can short circuit the process. So,
man, that is so wise, you know, because I think maybe one of the reasons why we, as in the Christian community and church people in general, try to struggle with how do we deal with depression, what do we think, is that we don't want to deal with complexity, and we don't want to deal with sadness. The truth is, we want everything easy, we want everything happy. I mean, our whole lives cater to
those two
things. And depression is neither. It is not easy, nor is it happy.
That's right.
And so how do we manage the complexity of the spiritual, circumstantial, medical, and then what the promises, great and precious promises and truths of the Bible that would aid us in the midst of this kind of struggle. Keep in mind, you know, the Bible tells us that the same person who's referred to as the Prince of Peace is also a man of sorrows, filled with grief.
That's right.
I mean, that the Lord knows. I'm not saying Jesus struggled with depression, but He understood, you know, the realm of grief and sadness, and how you can trust in God and really find encouragement and hope in Him. The truth is, as you put it, sometimes we need a doctor to help us understand our bodies. Sometimes we need a counselor to help us work through things we didn't even know were causing root issues. And sometimes we need to deal with sin. But all the time, I would say, Scripture, wherever we are on that spectrum of dealing with the causes, the symptoms, a variety of things related to depression, we can still look to the Scripture. And you said this really well, that you never really do have any cause to escape the hope and the joy that comes from trusting the precious promises of God. Can I share a couple? Maybe you've got some too.
Yeah.
You mentioned about being downcast. A famous one is Psalm 42:11, where he says, why, Oh, my soul, are you downcast?
That's right.
And then he goes on to say, why are you in so much turmoil? So he's like talking to himself.
Right.
And then he says, put your hope in God, for I will still praise him. Now, I'm downcast, but I'm going to tell myself, trust in God, and I'm going to praise him even through the fog, even through the struggle, even at the end of the day. It's not that depression doesn't mean you've ceased to believe the gospel. And I think that's important for people to understand. You don't.
And I like that verse. You put your hope in God, for I will still praise him. Even in the midst of your turmoil, your pain, your downcast spirit, things that you may not even be able to explain, the Bible, at the same time, God commands us to praise him.
Yeah.
And those are hard times. I've watched people sitting in the pews on Sundays that are praising through pain.
Right.
They're weeping because they're hurting,
right,
but they're still choosing to praise. And I think that's the direction of that verse. You may be downcast, but praise him through that. That's not going to necessarily make all the pain go away and make your day a bright day and happy day, but it does turn our heart toward him and allows him to minister to us. And I love that verse.
That's good. Another verse that A couple of verses that really ministered to me thinking through my own struggle with times of depression is, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me, heard my cry for help. And listen how the psalmist describes this, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. He brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. And then it says, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And oftentimes we need to wait upon the Lord. You know, a lot of people that I've heard talk about this, you know, like in Job's case, for example, Job's got all these issues and problems and stuff, and his friends spent a full week sitting there silent.
Yeah, they sat with him for 7 days.
Yeah, and then they went off on some crazy stuff. But
yeah, they did.
They showed up, you know.
That's right.
And they really at least sought to minister to him through being there, being present. And sometimes we just got to wait on the Lord, to wait on the Lord to lift the fog a little bit maybe, and to put a hymn of praise in my mouth that I can still praise him. Not that I've stopped praising him, but that I can still praise him.
That's a good point. And you make some good application for people who may have friends that are dealing with depression or, you know, other church members dealing with depression or family members. How to respond, what to do when you feel that maybe you're not the one depressed, but somebody else is, but you're close to that person. What do you do? How do you respond? How do you act? And I think one of the things you just said is that they, like Job's friends, they showed up.
Right.
That was a good thing. I mean, that they needed to be there, and they were for him, and they showed up for him. What else could, as a pastor, what else would you counsel other people to do to help somebody else? Show up.
You know, show up, and I would say, and this sounds so cliche, but pray for them. One Sunday night, I got up, you know, and I said, look, I'm prepared to preach, but I need to tell you what's on my heart. And I shared with them when I was struggling. I was really struggling. I told them how I felt, told them what I was going through, and I asked them to pray. And I'm going to tell you something, Matt, they prayed. And it was the most amazing thing to receive texts from people to say, I love you, I'm praying for you. You know, not to try to correct. Now, I did receive some people saying, just get over and get going. But and that's not helpful.
right.
But to truly pray, and when I've got friends and family and you know that are struggling and wrestling through some of this stuff, to a quick text to say, I love you, I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
And if you want to send a scripture, that's fine, but there's always the danger of, you know, sounding preachy. I'm not trying to sound preachy, but if I'm saying I found encouragement in this verse and I thought about you, and maybe share that rather than, I think you could use this, and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's well-intended, but it might have an adverse
effect. Yeah, it can, effect, and right? I appreciate you being that transparent to share what you shared with your church family. That's not easy to do as a pastor. I've had to do that, and that's not, man, that's a tough place to be in.
And they received it well, man.
And that's
it
great. That's
awesome.
Great. But sometimes, you know, we can, like you said, where we're tempted is to send, you know, look up Romans 8:28. You'll be fine.
Right,
you know,
that
all things work together for you. You know, and I've cautioned my folks, and sometimes gotten on to us if we're not careful. Man, don't don't just throw verses out there like that, assuming that that person doesn't know that verse. The chances are the people that are in your church or family, they know that verse. They're aware that God is working in some things, but they're dealing with some really tough things. So just be sensitive to where they are. And I like that. So you can show up, you can pray for people. You can weep with people.
Yes.
You know, if people are, you got a friend that's weeping and they don't know why, they can't explain it. They're just overcome with, you know, you may just be that friend that God has led there to just weep with them and say, look, I'm just going to be here for you, whatever you need. I'm not going to tell you anything. I don't know what's going on and I'm not going to give you answers, but I'm here to love you and I'm here, you know, and just weep with you. And sometimes that kind of friend can go a long way that will just simply understand that they don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And to be able to say that, look, I don't understand what you're feeling, what you're going through, but I'm here for you and I love you. Yeah.
Well, I want you to close us here in just a second. And as you get us started with sort of our exit here on the way out of the podcast, let me just say, as one who has experienced a little bit of this personally, to our listeners, if you listen to this that we've talked about, and there's a lot more to say that we haven't said, and we're not professionals here in this area, but we simply want to say to you, if you're experiencing some of these symptoms, if you're experiencing some of the things that we've talked about, then you can get help, and you need to get help.
Yeah.
Don't let it go. Go talk to your pastor. If your pastor is wise enough, your pastor will try to help you with some biblical counseling, but then also be able to say to you, I've got somebody else I need you to talk to because I can only do so much.
Right.
And we know our limitations as pastors, at least we hope we do. Mm-hmm. And so get help from a pastor, a Christian counselor. Mm-hmm. There are Christian counselors around. I know where we live just geographically. Mm-hmm. There may be counselors in your area. I know there is in Tupelo, Mississippi. There are some around us in Saltillo and Boonville and Corinth and other places. And so find somebody and talk to them. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, and this is what Nikki would sometimes say, the feelings that I'm feeling don't make any sense to me as to why they would even depress me.
Right.
And that may be an indication too, that you may have some things that you're not able to identify. So go find somebody and get some help. Mm-hmm. And, so I think as you close us out, I just want to make sure I say that, make sure you get some help.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And thanks to you and Nikki too, for opening up your lives to help us, know, from boots on the ground perspective that, you know, this is a real thing. Christians who love the Lord, you know, walk through these seasons together. And that, man, that was rich and powerful. And before the podcast, I was almost crying because you were telling me this, man. And, you know, we just need to sympathize with one another in our griefs and sorrows and know that Jesus has gone before us.
Amen.
And
to that.
I appreciate you guys being willing to share that. So thank you. Well, it's, it is our tradition. I know this has been a really... a fairly emotional, fairly heavy kind of subject, but we do like to close with one more thing, and usually it's something that we say about ourselves, just try to give a little more personal insight to our listeners about that. Matt, you got something on your mind for one more thing?
I do, man. My wife and I are about to celebrate, or we did, I should say it this way. In October of last year, we celebrated our 20th anniversary of marriage, but we're finally getting to celebrate this month. So in the month of March 2017, we are headed to Jamaica, Mon.
Come on.
We are. We're going to Jamaica. We're going to stay for about 5 days, 6 days in all, I guess. But we're going to spend some time on the Jamaica water that's crystal clear. And we're just going to relax for a while. And hopefully my phone won't work while I'm there.
No.
And no kids, no work, no nothing but just me and my honey. So it's going to be nice.
And I'm excited for you guys. And I will buy you dinner. If you send me pictures of little braids and beads woven into your hair and braided
in, buddy.
Man.
I will do it.
That's going to be great, man.
What about you? You got one more thing?
Well, just something to kind of cross my mind, you know. But before really settling into the role of pastor and preaching, teaching pastor, I led worship for a long time. Many people may not know that I actually play alto saxophone. And
do you really?
Award-winning
no
alto.
Way.
Now, it's been a long time. When I left for seminary, I left my saxophone in the church that I served, and I went back to get it years later, and it wasn't there.
Oh,
I think they'd given,
no,
it, given it to a student to use, which is wonderful. I'm glad. God bless you, whoever has it. But I've not picked up, and I'm thinking about if it was to work its way somehow in the life of our church. We have orchestra and orchestral things happen that I may pick up the old alto again and go for it.
Do you have one?
I don't.
Okay,
I,
so
I don't.
Let me throw this out there. For all of our listeners right now, somebody has an alto sax. It's in good
That's
shape.
Awesome.
And you don't use it.
Yeah.
Mike is looking for a saxophone.
I'm looking. So hit us up.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that happen. So check it out. Share it on Facebook. Let's get Mike a sax because I want to hear it personally.
Yeah.
Can we play it on the podcast?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I've got stuff keyed up ready to go. Ready to go.
We'd have to hear that, man. I can't wait. Man, this has been awesome. It's been awesome. Well, let me just say to all of our listeners, we appreciate you listening always. Thank you for tuning in to Gospel Rain Podcast. Share us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Go to the website, gospelrain.com. There are a lot of places out there. Go to iTunes.
Yep.
Go to all kinds of other podcast apps out there, and you can share it with your friends. So we appreciate you listening to us today.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain Podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.